Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Hopefully this will be a short one, because I don't have much time. But don't have a lot of new purchases. Haven't purchased a lot of back issues the last month. And I did receive a couple comics from my brother. My parents were up to see him, and on their way back down, they brought me a couple that he picked up for me. One was a Little Lotta. I don't think I have any of these from in my database, if any. Especially a Little Lotta. It's Harvey Comics. It's 25 Center, number 118. And it says, Lotta becomes a supergirl as she's eaten a Subway sandwich and a bull is getting to ram his horns in her ass. Lots of fun for lots of readers. That should be an interesting one. And then he got me Harvey Collectors Comics, number one. 35 cent, 52 pages, featuring Richie Rich. This one looks pretty beat up, but it's interesting how he might have got these at an antique sale, but I've never seen anybody package their books like this. Let's see it. There's a receipt on the back. It doesn't say where it's from. But there is a receipt with a barcode on the back. They were charging a lot for them. But one was $11.95 and the other one was $9.95. And the Richie Rich one is pretty beat up. Like, it's a VG if that. So I don't know why they were so expensive. But the interesting thing, I've never seen this done before. Whoever bagged and boarded their books put the backing board not on the back of the comic book, but in the middle of the comic book, which is very odd. And then my nephew had bought me a comic book from his school. It's kind of a graphic novel. It's kind of interesting to read, but it was Lowriders in Outer Space. I did read this one. It's an all-ages book. And at the back of it, it gave a history of lowriders. And it was pretty interesting, being an all-ages book. I did like that there's a lot of, like, Spanish in there. Well, not a lot, but there's some. And every time they introduce a Spanish word, it has a little asterisk next to it, and then it tells you what it is in the caption, like a footnote within the caption comics of our time. Except ours would be like, well, this happened in Astonishing Tales number 15. Well, in this one, it explained to you esse and vato and all kinds of slang and some non-slang, and it was pretty interesting. I did read it. It was an all-ages book. It was about I didn't know this. It looked like a tooth, but at least on the first panel. But there's a octopus named Flapjack, and there's a mosquito. I forget what his name is, that wears a sombrero. And then there's a female animal character that I would say is a goat, but it's too hard to tell. It looked like a chihuahua, but it's a chihuahua with horns, so I think it's a goat. But she's a specialist, and she's a specialist mechanic. The octopus, Flapjack, is a specialist at detail and car washing. And then the mosquito knows how to do all kinds of other stuff, interiors and upholstery and all this stuff. And they work at a car lot, and they're abused by their el jefe. And their dream is to have their own auto body type shop. And they enter a competition. They somehow get a really beat up lowrider and fix it up with airplane parts that takes them into space, and they navigate the whole constellation and get new parts in each planet and fight off a black hole, come back down to Earth, win the competition, and open up their own car shop. So there you go. It was a very unique all ages book. I think they had like this thing at my nephew's school, which was like Shark Tank, where they invent something and they got so many points and they could buy something from their bookstore. And he saw this and I guess he thought of me, and he bought it for me. So with his points that he had earned. So that was pretty interesting. And the other thing I wanted to do was very stressful work week, especially ending Friday. I didn't need that. It got like real. I got so much anxiety. I came home. I wanted to record, but I wanted to be with my family. I wanted to get off early, and I didn't get to get off early. So I was grouchy on Friday, and didn't read much this weekend like I wanted to. But one thing that kept me laughing a lot, and I was very happy to find, is, and I just coincidentally came across it because my Twitter showed Uncanny X-Cast was putting out new episodes. And this is a podcast I listened back to in 2006, 2007. It was publishing when I was publishing and Derek Coward was publishing. And Comic Geek Speak had a forum, and they had their forum, and we had our forum for Geek Brunch. And I listened to these guys, not because I'm a big X-Men fan, but because these guys were like high school buddies that you knew they were. Their banter between each other is amazing, and it still is. And one of the guys is now going through a divorce. I think that's maybe why they're recording, is he's trying to find who he is again, I guess. But it's with Brian Perillo and Rob Briscoe. And, yeah, a lot has changed since they came up with episodes. But I was very pleased to have that. And I put aside a lot of my other podcasts just to binge the last few episodes that they had put out. And I still have 1.5 to go before I start listening to my regulars. But was very pleased to have that podcast back. It brought a lot of memories back. And it's amazing the fans they had. Like I've never had fans like that. We had fans when Heath was around, because he was more of the social networking guy, and he still is when he does Serial at Midnight. But I've been more like I'm doing it for me, and I never had that kind of like fan support. But their fan support's incredible. They have like people call into their hotline and do crazy shit and leave questions, and it's amazing how they all came back out of the woodwork after so many years of being gone. I think the last time they published an episode was like an episode in 2020 near COVID. And that was after taking many, many years off too. So I really enjoyed that, having them back. And we have a listener question from Dallow I can get back to. And I know it has to do with animated cartoons. And I talked to Rob about this, because I'm trying to get him to watch X-Men 97, and he's having a hard time breaking the animated barrier. But I think he's got through at least 3 episodes so far. But I am going to go to my bookmarks and find. Yeah, Dallow said, question for Mike M's Weekly Reads. The top five animated series for me. I'm going to say this. Definitely Star Wars Clone Wars is number one. Number two is Star Wars Rebels. I just think they're phenomenal. Number three would be, God, it's so tough when we're talking all time because there's so many after those two, but those two are just phenomenal. I'd have to say Justice League Unlimited. I really, really liked. And man, you want to put Batman the Animated Series in there, but I can't because I have two more that I'd put in there. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, I watched religiously, and I loved that cartoon. And even before that, it was Challenge of the Super Friends. I grew up watching Super Friends. They're the reason I got into comics. So I have to give a shout out to Challenge of the Super Friends. That's when they had the whole Justice League lineup in and the Legion of Doom. I thought that was amazing. But some that I left out that I really love is Batman the Animated Series, the Flash Gordon cartoon. The Incredible Hulk cartoon I liked a lot. Super Friends proper. Forget what the other one was called. After Challenge of the Super Friends, they did like a one with Cyborg and maybe it was Superpowers, Super Friends Superpowers, because they had Cyborg and Firestorm. I even had a Tom Scholey commission from him doing Firestorm and Cyborg from that period. The Superpowers collection that Kirby did. So, yeah, those would be my animated series. Rebels. There's Bad Batch has to, but I have to put that one on the outskirts. So I'd say Rebels, Star Wars Clone Wars, Justice League Unlimited, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and Challenge of the Super Friends. So, hope that answers your question. Top animated films. I don't watch a lot of animated films, to tell you the truth. I have watched a couple of the DC ones, but I've never gone back to rewatch them. So, I don't think they're... While I enjoy them a lot, I don't, like, cherish them. I'm trying to think of animated films, and only one I could think of that I went to a theater to see was Star Wars Clone Wars, which launched the TV show, which I enjoyed a lot. And Batman Mark of Phantasm. I liked Incredibles a lot. So the Disney or the Pixar one, Incredibles. But other than that, I don't have a lot. The Killing Joke was pretty good. I liked that one. And I haven't seen a lot of the animated, even though I own most of them, which is crazy. But don't know why. Top five superhero series not animated. So the not animated TV shows. Daredevil would be there for sure. The Netflix Daredevil. Jessica Jones, The Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby, the TV show, that was phenomenal, Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, and I'll consider him a superhero, the $6 Million Man. Those were some big ones as a kid that I just loved. But Daredevil's, God, I love the Netflix ones. all of them so far. I think I still need one Luke Cage and one Iron Fist to finish the whole shebang of shows. But I finished all the Daredevils and all the Jessica Jones. I like those a lot. Top 5 superhero movies not animated. I'm going to tell you what they are now. Superman 3 has to be in there with Richard Pryor and Christopher Reeve. God, I just love that thing. I think when I was younger, Superman 2 was the shit, and Superman the original were so good, and I still love them. But Superman 3, man, it is just so Silver Age, Bronze Age craziness that was really happening in the comic books. It was like taking a Kerry Bates story and making it reality. You had Richard Pryor inventing he was a computer genius that was unemployed for the longest time, found out he could do anything on computers. So he stole from his boss, and his boss says he wants him to make him more rich, and he helps him. But Superman's stopping things, and they create a fake kryptonite. They find out what the chemicals are of kryptonite, but part of it's unknown. And so he puts in tar for the last element that is unknown. And this turns Superman bad, which is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It makes him evil. And he does crazy things and bad things. He decides to even bang somebody. He gets laid. He fights with himself in a garbage dump. Clark Kent versus Superman, like you would see in so many comics. It was just amazing. And then you have a climax where he fights a supercomputer. I love Superman 3. It's got to be in there. Joker is my top one. I thought that even though it's so different than anything I've seen in comics, it's like a Taxi Driver type. I love the movie The Joker. And up until that point, The Rocketeer was my favorite superhero film. And now it's The Joker. So Superman 3, The Joker. Rocketeer is in there. That's definitely in there. Probably one of the most wholesome superhero movies I have ever seen in my life. Best soundtrack. Phenomenal. I'm going to throw The Crow in there. I love The Crow. It is fucking amazing, and who would have thunk it, you know? Who would have thunk it? I just got the first appearance of The Crow recently, and I was really happy about that. And then, what else do we have? I'd have to go with Batman 89, just because of what it meant to me then and what it means to me now. And I was in college when that sucker came out. And the excitement for that movie was unbearable. So we got Superman 3, which is the odd man duck in there. There's a lot of Michael Keaton Batman fans, so that might be in some. I'm not sure a lot of people have the Joker in their list, so that's my oddball one. The Rocketeer. There's a couple of close friends that would put that movie really high, but I don't think as high as I would put it. And The Crow. There are a lot of Crow fans, so I'm sure there's some overlap there. So, yeah, no Marvel movies, unbelievably, even though I love some of them. They don't hold that special place in my heart, which doesn't surprise me because The Rocketeer, I loved when it was coming out, you know, Dave Stevens and stuff, and when it hit, I had to get everything that was Rocketeer, everything. I had to go back and track it down, and their publication schedule is ridiculous. It was like across 4 different companies and 4 publishers and many years apart on some of them. You had some Dark Horse, some Eclipse, some Disney, some Pacific. I don't even know. It's crazy schedule that they had. So yeah, those are good questions. I hope my list doesn't shock you, but I think the listeners will know that about Joker and probably the Rocketeer if they've been listening long enough. But some of those other ones might surprise you. There you go. My top five of animated films. Animated films I probably could come back to if I did some research, but off the top of my head, there's nothing just slaps me in the face saying, "Oh my God." So there we go. And now we're going to get back into the Death of Superman previews. We finished DC last time, and we'll see where we left off and take off from there. So let's go. We have Deadline. They publish a comic book. I don't even know what that is. I think it's a magazine. Disney had Dinosaurs, the TV show, graphic novel. That might be interesting to pick up today. They were actually publishing comics. They had Disney Adventures, number 3. Had some Darkwing Duck in there. Donald Duck Adventures. Uncle Scrooge, 275. Walt Disney Comics and Stories. This one reprinted Donald Duck's first appearance. Mickey Mouse Stories. Adventures of Mr. Toad. There was a ride, Mr. Toad and something. Never ever saw that. I don't know why there was a ride on it, but it must have been popular at some point. You had a toy collector magazine coming out of Dobbs Publishing Group. Double Diamond had I-Beam. I don't know what that is. And they had Hepcats. I've heard of that, but it was the second print coming out, still available. Double Edge Publishing had The Town. Don't know what that is, but it was black and white. DWB, they just had a bulletin, something with Doctor Who in that. EC Comics, so they were publishing some stories. These were the $1.50 reprints, I think. Two-Fisted Tales number 2 and Vault of Horror number 2. I think I picked up some of these, but they were Tales from the Crypt and Weird Fantasy number 2. I might have one or two of those, but I didn't get them regularly. I was just getting them out of curiosity, because I think when that launched, roughly, Tales from the Crypt was coming out on HBO and got me to want to pick up the comic book. From Eclipse Comics, we had Crime and Punishment trading cards that had Charles Manson, Wayne Williams, Patty Hearst, a bunch of crazy stuff. Hot Pulp, don't know what that is. A steamy sampler of spicy stories. Mature readers, partial nudity. Collected spicy selection of pulp stories and illustration that pale by today's standards. Included are tales of couple swapping, hot-blooded partisans and artists and their models, taken directly from the spicy pulp magazines of yesteryear, sorry. Also included are charming pen and ink drawings, an 8-page gallery of artful nude photographs, and original advertisements for Tijuana Bible Books. That's nuts. It's got a $9.95 price tag and 72 pages black and white. We have something Frank Rosetta, Johnny Comet. That was the collected edition. Larry Martyr's Bean World. I heard about this because Vince and 11 O'Clock Comics was really big on it at one point, and they republished a lot of that Bean World stuff in Dark Horse. Miracle Man was still being published by Gaiman and Buckingham. So this is Miracle Man 28. They had Miracle Man Book 4, The Golden Age. Marvel just redid this with some more stories, I think. And there was a True Crime Volumes 1 and 2 card series. Wow, they were into those True Crime stuff. Eros had Alien Sex Monster Lust. I have picked that one up recently. Bad Habits. Big Wanking Tales, Hotline, Liz and Beth, number 6, Ramba, number 2. So I was picking up an Eros comic at this time. Ramba, I have most of these Ramba issues. That's crazy. Real Smut, Sex Machine, and Sex Executioner, number 1. I didn't realize that Eros was an extension of Fantagraphics. That's one thing that totally blew my mind. I never thought that. From Eternity Comics, don't have a lot of this. But we have Anime Mag, number 3. So anime was big there. Ninja High School by Ben Dunn. That's an Antarctic now. That was on issue 36. Never read one of those. Robotech Genesis, number 6. Robotech Invid War, number 7. Fantigo, they're still publishing some stuff. They had The Best of Dario Argento, Dread, number 8. That was the official Clive Barker newsletter. Dread Fall Special. That also dealt with Clive Barker. You could get a John Bolton t-shirt. That looked pretty cool. And the Night of the Living Dead t-shirt. From Fantagraphics. I'll stop with Fantagraphics after I finish that. But they have quite a bit coming out from them. So, we had Butt Biscuit. I don't know what this is, but it was number 4, Mature Readers. The police convince Archie that the body they found is Danny's, and Ella could be a link between man and ape. Plus, more tales and fun hair pages. Those responsible will surely suffer a great torment and punishment. For 250, we have the Comics Journal, 155. That's still going on, I think. Critters, number 50. That was that book that launched, well, had Yashaga Yojimbo in it, Neil the Horse, Sam and Max, Freelance Police by Scott Shaw, Ty Templeton. That was 80 pages, 495. Cud, don't know what that is. Number 2, 8 Ball, number 3, that's coming back on Fantagraphics. Hate, they're republishing that. Well, it's either Hate or 8-Ball. I don't know which one they're coming back with. I think it's Hate by Peter Begg. Then they had number 7. There's a thing called Job Abuse. Love and Rockets, number 14, second print. I'm well aware of that. Haven't read much Love and Rockets. A lot of new trades I've read from them. Had Love and Rockets Anniversary Print, Love and Rockets Book 6, Duck Feet, Marilyn Monroe, The Unauthorized Biography. That would be an interesting one to get for me. Naughty Bits, number 7. Pictopia, number 4. Trouble Town, Usagi Yojimbo, number 37, Zoot, number 1. So I've heard of some of these stuff. That's Roger Langridge. And we'll stop there and pick up with Fathom Press next time. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was coming from 1992, September previews, The Death of Superman. So we will pick up with some weekly reads. Unbelievable. I recorded and this stupid headset ran out of charge. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So here I am, and I'm going to have to record the weekly reads again. So I'm going to try to go through these really, really fast. But we're going to talk about April 15th through April 21st. What I read that week and what I watched was stopped with the movies that I watched. They were all 4 out of 5s, all in the James Bond realm. We have Thunderball. That was a Sean Connery film that was later remade into Never Say Never again. And Octopussy was a Roger Moore one. That was one of the ones I saw at the theater, one of the exceptions to the rule. Spectre was a Daniel Craig. Amazing. I really like the Daniel Craig films. So those are all 4 out of 5s. We have a total of 28 comics. 1 Titan, 1 Rebel, 5 Marvel, 4 Image, 1 Floating World, 2 Eros, 1 Dead Sky, 11 DC, 1 Boom, 1 Ablaze. So very well distribution. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Titans Beast World Waller. It seems to focus on Vixen, Dr. Mist, the Superman from Earth 2, and a few other black heroes are going after Waller. A story was okay, but it really didn't care for the art. We have Venom number 32. This is part of a crossover in the Carnage book, and that's why I'm reading it. Even though I do get Venom, I am going to probably just go to digital on Venom and Carnage as soon as these incarnations end. I'm going to just, as soon as they end, I'm telling my, these ones I do get at the comic shop and not through DCBS. I'm just going to tell them, hey, you know, I'm going to stop the subscription as soon as these series end. And then I'll read them on the app. I Heart Skullcrusher number 1. Oh, wait, on 32, Dylan is dead. So Dylan is, Eddie Brock's son, stabbed in the heart by Carnage, but then brought back to life by the symbiote, but he did lose Venom. Carnage battles Venom and the others in the garden. I was kind of lost, and I just jumped into the symbiosis-narcosis storyline and don't really understand what is going on with Eddie within the Venom book. So I've been reading Carnage pretty religiously and monthly, and I was off on Venom, so there was a little disconnect when you cross over with this miniseries, but I will eventually figure out what's going on. I Heart Skullcrusher number 1, a post-apocalyptic world where water is scarce and a young girl wants to become a teammate to one of her favorite sports figures. She puts together a band of misfits to help her get onto their idol's squad. That was from Boom, 3 out of 5, and I'm going to have to keep checking my recording to make sure it's recording. That was crazy. Elizabeth Bathory from Eros, chapter 7 and 8. That's a naughty book. Incredible art. Carnage number 6. This is part of that crossover. Supposedly in the garden, Eddie was killed by Carnage. Carnage now rejoins with Cletus Cassidy, and there are even more murders in the church. Very violent scenes. You know, you talk about these red band books. Well, this is red band without a red band seal, so it's crazy why branding is the way it is, and this is just as violent, but doesn't require a plastic bag to go over it. Yeah, they cut people in half in this book, too. Anti-Venom tries to mount enough strength to go after Carnage. You got Titans Beast World 1 and 2. Beast Boy saves the cosmos by merging with Starro, but then comes back to Earth with spores that are affecting humanity and causes a huge virus outbreak, essentially. Spider-Woman number 5. Jessica's dealing with her child, Jerry, being all grown up, and he wants to kill her. She shares that story with Captain Marvel. Cap is called back to the Avengers mission, and she is attacked by drones, driven by a villain who wants views on social media. And thanks to Spider-Boy and Spider-Woman, that social media attacker is taken care of. We have DProg number one. This is from Dead Sky Publishing. A woman hires a cult hunter to find and retrieve her brother who joined a cult. Like a demon who... So she seems to be a masochist sex cult and ends up having sex with her client. We got Faust number 13, getting close to the finale of Faust. M is looking more like a demon and wants to undo God's creation, and only Faust, Claire, and the reporter stand in the way. We have Grace Rosa, number volume 1. It's a manga about a young girl who's rescued from a rape by an assassin. She's raised by that assassin and trained by that assassin for the same organization that he works for. And later when he goes missing, her goal is to find him. This leads to a confrontation between two gang families. One where she's part of and incidentally hired by. And then one that her mentor is hired by. And they go off in separate directions, and now she's in search for him again. We have Witchblade 26 and 27. Sarah gets a new partner she does not want. Ian is separated from the Witchblade and in recovering. Gavin's boss turns out to be Kenneth Irons, and he's alive now. Jake is in recovery. That's her Sarah's old partner, and Sarah might have used the Witchblade to heal Jake. And some woman tries to kill Gavin, but is captured. We have Torpedo 1972 from Ablaze Comics. This feels and looks like 100 Bullets. It's not by Brian Azzarello, but it reads like it's written by Brian Azzarello. Eduardo Russo is the artist, so it looks like 100 Bullets. A young reporter and his girl are trying to uncover a story and must meet with Torpedo, an older man who was a gun for hire that has Parkinson's. That turns into a disaster when she goes to do a photo shoot of this old man. And that old man with Parkinson's ends up raping her. And now the reporter unleashes a story which tries to turn a gang family against Torpedo. We have Midlife or How a Hero to Be a Hero at 50, number one, from Image Comics. A fireman is down on his luck and wants to retire because he's not satisfied with his job. His ex-wife is an alcoholic and just got caught for DUI. He goes to save one of his homeless friends from a fire and finds out he gets superpowers and he's impervious to stuff. Even though he hates being a fireman and kind of is more like a fire clerk, which manages firemen and like the HR for firemen, and he's scared of fire. So it's pretty crazy and he wants to just retire. So I can relate to that. Amazing Spider-Man 46 to 47. Electro is sent to Ravencroft to free Sandman for a Sinister Six, but is stopped by Spider-Man and MJ, who is Jackpot. MJ's aunt is released from Ravencroft, but had many supporters there. It seems Sandman is going to turn evil again. Hal is even. Chasm are free because of what happened in the Web of Spider-Man, which I have not read yet. Peter has a date with one of the doctors at Ravencroft, and that date is broken up because he needs to go rescue Betty Brant. This leads to Chasm, Hallow's Eve, and the Goblin Queen. Peter has a date. Sorry. There is also something going on with the Living Brain. So we then get to Savage Dragon 269, which is Mickey Mouse sexually assaulting Maxine. Not the Steamboat Willie, but Mickey Mouse. Yeah, that's right. Savage Dragon and the 50s. And the SOS. God dang. Savage Dragon, the SOS take down the Vicious Fishes. And you got to remember that Savage Dragon has since moved from Canada to San Francisco. Angel is with Mr. Glum. And Mr. Glum is in Frank's body. Kills a cop who is harassing him and now in jail, and Angel has to go see him. So Angel's in San Francisco, Frank is back in Detroit, and she has to go see him. We got the 5 out of 5s were Amazon's Attack 2 through 6, Nebula, Yara, Wonder Girl, Mary Marvel, and the Queen of Bana McDaw. Deal with the world turning against the Amazons, as in Wonder Woman's Tom King's run of Wonder Woman. They believe the villain is Eris, but it is also Savannah. The government's and the main villain, Asylum, is Mini Demakos. We have Alan Scott, Green Lantern number 5. This is a fantastic series. Two more deaths of friends of Alan has led him to find his first love is the killer, and has a Red Lantern and was a spy for the Russians all along, and he played Alan. He wasn't really gay. He pretended to be his gay lover and have sex with them just to achieve his goals. This leads to a confrontation with other members from Russia who also have the Ren Crips in power, and the Justice Society has come to the rescue. Also, a really tight scene with the Spectre and Green Lantern. If you're a Spectre fan, it's wonderful. Vengeance for the... This could be the best Alan Scott story ever told, in my opinion. Vengeance is for the Living. Alex Delaney is back, the creator of The Derelict. He will be at Heroes Con. Seek out The Derelict if you're there. This story, a mother finds out that a gang killed her kids and does not know if her husband is dead or alive. She digs herself out of a grave with the help of her father and sister, who is a Marine. They go seeking vengeance. I got to make sure I ordered number 2. I know I ordered number 3. And then we go into April 22nd through April 28th. I'm still recording too. God, I can't believe I lost that. Could have been much worse though. Things watched that week, Anyone But You, that was on Netflix. That was a Sydney Sweeney movie. That was a cute movie. I liked it. It was all right. The 4 out of 5s were Living Daylights. I think that was Timothy Dalton. And Moonraker. So that was Roger Moore. Fantastic again. Total 24 comics, 21 Marvel issues, 3 DC. These ones, I didn't take a lot of notes, so I'm just going to marshal through. I was on vacation. That's why I didn't take a lot of notes. Titans Beast World was on the app, even though I physically own them. All the other ones I didn't own, and I just read. Mostly because I was listening to 11 O'Clock Comics and hearing Vince B. talk about Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, 1 through 3, got me to read those and then jump into some of the surrounding 2099 titles. We got Titans Beast World Central City. That one focused on The Flash. Titans Beast World Tour Atlantis focused on Aquaman, obviously. We had Spider-Man 2099 Dark Genesis 1 through 5. That was written by Steve Orlando. These seem to be like weekly events. Like, I don't mind. I like reading these, but I'm kind of glad I don't own these physically. Like, they're good, but they're not like, oh my God, you know? I read Spider-Man 2099 Exodus 1 through 5. Spider-Man Exodus Alpha and Omega, which were the bookends. We have Titans Beast World Tour Metropolis, now a 4 out of 5, so we get into, which focused on Metropolis and the Superman family. I think this one even included Dream Girl from Legends of Tomorrow, or was she in Flash? I can't remember if she was in Legends Supergirl. She was in Supergirl. All those CW shows tend to blur for me. So we have Punisher 2099, number 1, volume 3. Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, 1 through 3. This was the team up with Miguel O'Hara. Teams up with iZombie, Blade, and Werewolf by Night, and Dracula. That's what got me into wanting to read these. We have Mutant 2099. That was a Robert Kirkman one. That was really good. Black Panther 2099. Really good. Daredevil 2099. That was also fantastic. Punisher 2099. Robert Kirkman was a 4 out of 5. So all of those, well, the gems that came out of this little rabbit hole were these one shots of 2099s written by Robert Kirkman. Inhumans 2099 was a 5 out of 5. If you like the Inhumans, this is a must read. It was absolutely fantastic. So that wraps up the weekly reads. The 5 out of 5s were Inhumans 2099, Amazon's Attack 2 through 6 from DC Comics, Alan Scott Green Lantern 3 through 5, DC Comics, and Vengeance is for the Living was Floating World. So I want to thank you for listening. Again, we have moved our podcast to DC Noise Podcast. You can find us at DCNoisePodcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and any other podcatchers, Stitcher, by typing in DC space Noise space Podcast and click the subscribe button. You'll get all of the Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike Gam's Weekly Reads, and DC Spotlights there. And you can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me questions there. You could tweet me questions at Mike Myers Brunch on X/Twitter and also on Blue Sky. And I'm going to need some more questions for the next few episodes, so let me have them. Let me know if you're able to find the episodes and what you think of my animated series and movie picks. So talk to you soon. You need to take care. Bye.